March the 5th, 2012, time is 6:35 p.m. This is Sylvania City Council and the Finance Committee of Sylvania City Council. In attendance is Todd Miller, Doug Hanum, Mark Lukey, Mary Westfall from the Finance Committee, and also Sandy Hussman and Katie Capolini are here from City Council. Others present include the Mayor, Jim Moen, Bill Sanford, Scott Smith, Chief Rodas, and George Eichenauer. Pardon me? I said Bill.
Before we get down, Bill's here too.
Bill Sanford.
Yeah.
This meeting is to discuss community reinvestment areas, commonly known as CRAs. And at this time, I'd like to turn it over to our law director, Mr. Moen.
Thank you, Mr. Milner. This matter was referred to City Council about the same time that last year's budget was in full bloom, and the matter's been in the Finance Committee, and now's an appropriate pause in that finance discussion to talk about the CRAs. I want to start with a little bit of background and history about the CRAs to bring Council up to speed on that. I'm going to ask Bill Sanford to step forward and sort of tell us what's brought this to a quicker pace, and specifically CRA number 3, which we have one of the property owners in that district here tonight as well. Just by way of background, the city has 9 CRA districts, 8 of which are pre-1994 CRAs. In 1994, the laws changed for CRA districts, and all of these are under the old law. The one that is a new CRA is along Holland-Sylvania Road, where the Swiss Air property is. It's not really the subject of discussion for tonight. These CRAs were enacted roughly in the period of 1988 to 1992, and were opened granting or providing for 100% abatement for a 6-year period for property taxes that would be imposed upon a property for new construction or remodeling that would increase the value of the property. So what would be the case is that should someone build a property under the old existing CRA, they would be entitled to 100% abatement over the base, and the base would be what the existing property taxes are. We've had a couple of examples in the last several years where that is the case, and that's been uniformly administered, because all the CRAs 1 through 8 all have that requirement. There's a requirement that the schools must be notified under that law, and they are entitled to give their comments to the city prior to the CRA being forwarded on, or the application being forwarded on or approved. So they are consulted, but there's no requirement in the statute that any particular amount of money be allocated to the schools for that. As I've indicated, I think at previous meetings, this CRA can be amended a maximum of 2 additional times. And we have certainly one opportunity to do it. We may have 2. Things that you might consider to amend a CRA for would be to perhaps expand its physical territorial limits, changing the terms of the abatement, that being increase the length of years, and or change the percentage of abatement. In other words, this is 100% abatement. Other communities have given less than 100% but lengthened the years. You also have the ability to impose or provide abatements for different classes of buildings or improvements. You'll see down under possible options, other communities have given abatements for longer periods of time for different types of units, residential, single-family, multifamily, office, warehousing, industrial. That's sort of soup to nuts and a pretty broad capability of doing that. And what also is different about BCRAs is that the abatement and the application does not go in until after the improvements are done, whereas under the new law, the deal must be in place before you start construction. So generally, that's what our CRAs are about, and we've been talking a little bit in the past about making modifications to it to consider lengthening the year, giving different classifications, and maybe modifying either the amounts of CRAs or the territories they cover. And that's sort of the background that we had before City Council. I think there's some specific interest in CRA number 8, which is the South, number 3, which is the South Briar complex. It's a series of multiple buildings, and I think one of the building owners is here, and he's been in contact with the city in the past, and I think Bill Sanford can perhaps give us a little bit of update in that regard.
Thank you, Mr. Mullen, and Mayor, and members of council. Just to give you a quick intro, Mr. Schmidt, who's here tonight, Dave Schmidt, is one of the owners of the property at the South Briar Complex. Had contacted me about the CRA that Jim was speaking about. And so we had a meeting with all three owners and of the different properties. And what I'd like to do now is introduce Dave and have him explain what his plans and thoughts are for the site and is why he has interest in this for a CRA for that property. Dave?
Hi. I'm Dave Schmidt. As Bill said, the South Briar property is actually owned by three different owners. It's a condominium-type unit. So a number of years ago, I guess, to start, I was looking at doing, a remodel of the facade of South Briar. And at the time, talked briefly to some people about a CRA, and there wasn't a lot of interest at the time, so I held off. But just recently, it's come up again. One of the other property owners that has the office building there, I guess, was looking to either stay or possibly move. And was looking at remodeling his building, and that's when we kind of got Bill involved and had a meeting and talked to him. And I'd like to, would be really interested in putting a new facade, on my part of the South Briar building, which is actually the largest part. I mean, if you're not familiar with it, the part that I own is the L-shaped large part of the shopping center. And then next to me is the office building with the other guys that we were talking about staying. And then there's also a smaller, where the carryout is, kind of a strip center on the end that someone else owns. But for a number of years, I've looked at redoing the facade. And I think, the retail business and retail properties in general right now are really soft. It's difficult. I've managed to keep the center fairly full. I just signed a new lease. Actually, today I got it. So at this point, I've only got one vacancy, but it's taken a lot of rent abatement and, working with the tenants in order to keep it full. I think, probably a little bit of change in the economy and continue, work with the tenants, and we can probably keep it full. Obviously, some remodeling on it would help. But, right now, what I would be looking at doing, if I can get, the CRA in place, for somewhere in the neighborhood of 15 years would be to redo the facade on the building. Have had some preliminary talks with an architect, although I'm not far enough along to know whether it would be possible or not, but I'm kind of looking at maybe even doing some kind of a little village concept where we put apartments upstairs on the second floor and kind of make it a two-story building with apartments up above and then retail down below. Try and create, I guess, a little bit of a village feel to it, especially with Lawrence College over there. I think there might be some demand for those type of units. But at the very minimum, we'd be redoing the facade as well as we're looking at doing for the Sierra place.
So. Dave, for the record, could you give your address, please, so we...
Yes, 7605 Rymore Court.
Thank you.
Okay.
Questions for Mr. Schmidt?
Any questions?
I think just a clarification, you talk about your thought about doing a two-story with apartments above. You're talking about not the faux two-story look like we have in the strip center at Holland Sylvania and Sylvania, but a real second story that could be used for rentals, is that right?
That's something I'm looking into. I don't want to mislead you because I have no idea if structurally if that's possible or if it makes economic sense, but it's a thought that I have in my mind, but yes, that is what I'm talking about. If that's something that, you know, structurally works out, turns out to be economically feasible, I would definitely look hard at that because I think that would be a really nice concept there.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, would not be a faux second story. It would actually be apartments, livable apartments. So.
Dave, what are the economics? What are you looking
at? As far as the apartments go?
No, in terms of the tax abatement.
Well, yeah, in terms of the tax abatement, I mean, it's just for the facade, you're probably in the neighborhood of $300,000, I'm guessing. And of course,
what's that going to do to your property?
I'm sorry, what?
What will that do to your property?
Value? You know, on commercial property, the values are really all dependent on your rents. It's income driven. So providing that the, you know, providing that the remodeling actually enables me to get more money in rent and still keep the property full, it would raise the property value. And that's the point, I think, of the CRA is to.
Well, how much would talk? What are you talking? Do you have a number? Have you done
that? It would raise the property value?
The CRA would only abate the increase in the value.
Exactly. That's
okay.
Exactly right.
So I really wonder, I mean, I know you're very interested in this. I really wonder what this is worth. And do you have a number in your head as to what this is worth?
Well, I'm guessing if I did the remodeling, the auditor is probably going to raise my assessed value by $150,000 to $200,000. So I'm not sure what the effective tax rate would be on that. You guys
would you want it? And I mean, the nice thing about CRA is we get to make decisions for the township and the county and everybody else on that. And actually, our cost is not that great. What would you think about, you know, a big chunk of your real estate taxes or school taxes? Do you have a thought about that?
Well, yeah, I mean, without the school tax portion, there just wouldn't be a whole lot of savings. And obviously, the CRA is an incentive, and I just don't see that there'd be a lot of incentive if you left the school tax portion out. You're not talking. If the auditor raises my value by $150,000, and you figure out the effective tax rate on that, it's not a huge savings, but it's enough to make a difference and to make it feasible, I think. If you put the school tax portion back in, there's probably not a lot of savings at all.
We're not talking about a lot of money.
Well,
what's a lot of money to you? I mean,
I don't know. That's a pretty relevant question.
That is the question. That's the question. Okay, I know you're here. You're asking us to consider this, well, and you're talking about making a $300,000 investment. And the tax abatement you're talking about isn't, I think, in comparison to the $300,000 investment you're making.
Well,
what do you think it is?
Keep in mind, it not only, I believe, I could be wrong, Jim, but I mean, it not only, it not only abates any improvements, but I think it also fixes the tax rate at today's level, doesn't it, for that period?
It's based on the present value, yes.
So it's kind of stays there and it's, I guess, frozen at that rate. So the reassessments don't actually raise it up. So you're saving some money on that down the road also. But I mean, I guess to answer your question in terms, I mean, if I can save $3,000, $4,000, $5,000 a year on real estate taxes, over a period of 15 years, it makes it more feasible to do.
Because we're going to have, when we talk to our school people, school people are going to comment on this.
For sure.
And we have, I don't think we've done one of these in a while. We've had some discussions with another one, and our school people are going to not going to support this.
But Doug, I guess to also keep in mind, I mean, the other idea I am kicking around is the second story village concept. You're probably talking about more of $1 million plus investment in that scenario. So, and you've also got two other buildings there. I don't know exactly where my neighbor's stand, which is who kind of brought this to the forefront initially with the office building, but there's additional investment there. I mean, I don't know where it ended up, but when we were originally talking about it, we were talking about the neighborhood behind there and that whole area, which could use, I mean, it would help probably somewhat, you know, in that area. It's one of the older areas of Savannah. I think you'd get some people probably building, maybe even knocking down some of the houses and building in that area also. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but my brother owned the property on the other side of the railroad tracks, large warehouse that was there.
The bean factory?
Yeah, the old bean factory. Yeah, you remember your last stuff. And yeah, that's fallen into somewhat of a disrepair. Just recently, I bought that from the bank, so I own that now also. And it's too early to, I don't want to mislead you, it's too early for me to give you any ideas of what I may or may not do with that, but I think that's a property that could probably use the tax abatement also.
If I might jump in just for a moment, just to clarify a couple points to help frame the discussion. One of the things I think on the handout I showed you, the CRA that presently exists is effectively only the shopping center. We had had some preliminary discussions in the past about perhaps expanding the footprint of it to include some of the residential on the other side of the railroad tracks, which would also include the bean factory. That's not part of this existing CRA. I think I've got an aerial photograph that I might have outlined in yellow as that potential expansion district. The other thing that you need to keep in mind is that when these districts were established, not long after they were established, most of them were shut down. That is, code provides for the ability for council to pass a resolution instructing the administration not to accept any applications. 7 of the 8 old CRAs have that restriction on them. That's why you see on action item number 1, potentially lift the prohibition on receiving applications for CRA number 3. As they now stand, 7 of the 8 have that restriction. CRA number 8, which is our main one in downtown Savannah, has never had that restriction on it. And we have been receiving applications for that. So I just want to give that little additional clarification about him talking about the other side of the tracks and what that might be about.
Jim, could I get one more clarification? I know we've talked about this before. I'm guessing I probably asked this question before. But you talk about the fact that we have all but one of our CRAs under the old law. We've talked in the past about, in one particular instance, about making a change to the CRA.
Yes.
For one particular owner. That would be the Root Building, I believe. The question I have is, do we get one change for all of our CRAs, or does each individual CRA act as a separate entity where we have the ability to change each one individually?
Each CRA would have its own. You could, if you chose to, and one of the discussion points for council is, do you want to make a change of some importance for just one CRA, or do you want to have them applicable to all of them? And that's a good fundamental question for you folks to discuss. The Root is a little different animal. That was Root we never changed. It's always been that way.
Yeah.
That the only change we put in is that because we owned the property, we had imposed the requirement that they must satisfy the schools.
Yeah, I think because of a different matter, we were looking at that.
You're right. We were looking at that. Mm. Yes.
Okay, so theoretically we have an ability, and I'm not necessarily advocating this, but we have the ability to address CRA number 3 without giving up any ability to address the others.
That's correct. You know, council back in the 80s and 90s made the decision to apply and ask for old CRAs, and there's some benefit to that. We have far more flexibility with the old law than we do with the new law. But with the flexibility comes some responsibilities of how you want to address other public entities like schools and so on and so forth, but you have a lot more flexibility with these. You don't want to overshoot and make one change, then maybe another, and then you're trucked out of making any further for eternity, because then you have to disband it and go with a new CRA.
Dave, I just need a point of clarification. When you're making this request, you're just talking about your L-shaped component of that property, or are the other owners also interested in considering changing, and is this something that you're all discussing and you anticipate that they're looking for the same opportunity? I'm a little confused on that.
It's my understanding that the other owner next to me was interested in remodeling his space also. That was actually how it kind of was brought up, came to light initially. Can't really speak for the third owner. We've all met on two different occasions to talk about it. Don't know where I met. It was 6 months ago. So.
The other owner is Mobile Care. We've talked about them before, and they're the ones that were considering doing something to the outside of their building also. Mm-hmm.
And but the other component is not a part of that.
No, they'd be in, I think they're in the area also, but I don't think that they've shown any interest at this point in doing anything.
Doug, just to get back, I guess, to what you were saying, it does make a difference as far as just the facade, even if that's all I do on the South Prairie Shopping Center, but probably see more potential for savings for me with the Bean Factory site.
Yeah, I guess, at this point, maybe. I guess it would be much easier for us to evaluate this if we had a specific proposal to see what we're talking about. Mm-hmm. I think we're probably, I'd love to see that your property improved and upgraded, and I'd love to see, the additional development, like to know what we're talking about, as opposed to going in and making one or two changes that we're allowed to ever make in this without having something a little more concrete in mind. And the other thing I would want to do before we went too much further is I would want to talk with our school people about their views on this. I mean, I've said this before, and Lord knows I've had my issues with our schools, but as a residential community, those schools are a vital asset to our community, and I'd be very interested in hearing their thoughts on tax abatement with regard to the school portion. And that makes up, about half, maybe more now of the amount that they're looking at. Mm-hmm. And I think historically, we have taken the position that the schools need to be made whole. I'm going to have to think long and hard about changing that position. I'll be very frank with you. I think that's something that I have an initial aversion to. And it doesn't mean that we have other economic development tools at our disposal as well. I'm sure Jim could fill you in on some of those. But this is just one of those. And if nothing, I think that I'd like to see the actual dollars that we're talking about. And because on a $1.5 million investment, I know that's a lot of money, but setting a precedent with regard to how we deal with tax abatement in our schools could be a lot more, could have a lot bigger impact on that. So I'll admit to being a little cautious about that. I'm also, I'll admit, a little cautious about abating business taxes when we just raised real estate taxes by 1.5 mils on everybody in the city. And so I'm cautious there. So.
Understandably, your concerns.
Dave, as you look into your crystal ball, how many days, weeks, months do you think before you have a more formalized plan with this property?
quite honestly, I'm not actively working on it. Unless the CRA goes through, I probably won't actively work on it. I mean, I don't have architects out there that I have under contract right now working on the issue. I mean, this is something that just came up 6 months ago. And I mean, typically, I mean, I'm involved in the CRA in the city of Toledo too. And typically, once the CRA's, you know, once you designate an area a CRA, it's to spur the improvement. And I think a lot of people at that point then go out and make improvements because it makes more sense for them to do it as opposed to the other way around. But, you know, it's 5 years ago, I had some preliminary work done on a new facade. Be more than happy to share that with you. I mean, I'm just, quite honestly, it's not a huge center. It's 28,000 square feet. Economically, it's not doing that great. You know, I really would probably not go out and spend $10,000 on doing feasibility studies and architectural renderings without knowing whether it was going to be in place.
Well, you know, we have a CRA in place now. We have one in place.
Yeah.
And so you want to change the 100% for 6 years, and you want to extend that? Is that right?
Yeah, I'd like 15-year tax abatement, but I'm just a small piece of this pie. I mean, my understanding was, you know, when I came in, because I haven't, you know, we haven't met on this for a while, but my understanding was that it was going to be that whole area there, other side of the tracks as well. But, you know, maybe that's not what we're talking about here. I don't know.
The expansion of the CRA at the other side of the tracks is for the residential would be an additional territory to include. I was just pointed out as a practical matter and of particular interest to you is that in looking at the map, it is the South Pryor Shopping Center, and when this was drawn back in the 80s, they also included the Bean Factory. So the Bean Factory is in the existing...
In the existing CRA.
Number three. They reached across and grabbed that one and pulled it in.
They're
going to wasn't for that. Yeah, well, I'll be candid with you. I've been telling you that it wasn't up until I had a chance to look at it.
Okay.
I've got the map, the actual map right now.
So is this map that we have?
That's correct. That's a correct map. In fact, you look at it, you'll see why you see where the railroad track goes through it. The Bean Factory is included. None of the other houses are.
Which is the Bean Factory? Maybe I'm sure.
The bottom left of the CR.
In the corner.
Yeah.
Okay, not on the other side of the track.
You know, while you're wandering over there, Jim, I would just make a couple quick comments. I do think that it's exciting to think about seeing Southboro get cleaned up. I think that it could use a facelift. It's in need. I think it's interesting that the three pieces of property are owned by three different owners, and I would be interested in, as you move forward, how you have that feel similar, because you can't just have one section of it start looking fabulous and the other two not be in any way connected. That might look a little unusual. Just a thought.
It would definitely be better if we, you know,
could all agree.
On the same board. Like mm-hmm. I said, that's how I was brought into it initially. Mm-hmm. I didn't actually instigate mm-hmm. this. It was brought in because of the other people.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure whether or not you're saying anyone here. It made sense to me. I mean, the South Pryor Shopping Center in that whole corner, as well as the Bean Factory, as well as that neighborhood behind there. I mean, I think the whole area could
use a facelift.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that whole area is just kind of an area I've been studying all my life. It's always been an area that really could use some redevelopment.
I do think Doug made some very valid points. Tough for me to completely understand what the cost involved is when there's no real proposal in place. And I understand your position as well, Dave. It costs a lot of money to put those things in place. If in fact it's not going to move forward. So I think that there's some resolution that we have to come to on that. I also think the schools is another critical piece, is where that falls into the equation. So I think there's a lot of opportunity, and I think it's sorting through the options and figuring out what works best.
Okay. Well, I mean, obviously there's a cost to you to put it in place and to make the changes, I'm sure, but I guess if the CRA is put in place and the improvements, you know, aren't, I mean, if there's no improvements, there's no cost. as far as what you're evading.
Yeah, you know, I'd like to encourage us to maybe think about this a couple of different ways. And maybe I'm a little more sympathetic as a small business owner because I understand that even though the actual financial relief over the course of a project is not what, you know, what some people would characterize as big money, a $10,000 relief over a number of years could allow you to do some additional enhancement. It could maybe make the difference between getting you off the bubble and moving you ahead. And quite honestly, you know, the banks are going to ask if you've gotten a CRA relief, you know. I mean, that's part of a loan package now, and they're going to expect that. So, you know, I think that when you're a small business person, it's more typical of what we're going to see in the city of Sylvania as far as development in the future. You know, we're going to be limited in the number of large retailers or medical office buildings that we're going to have built here. It's going to be projects like the Southbriar, right? So I think we have to be sensitive to that. I guess to the school point, you know, clearly I was on the other side of this equation as a member of the school board, and we fought hard to make sure that we were made whole on these projects. I think, though, we should at least consider whether times are changing and whether a short-term hit that produces a longer-term result might be a way to engage the school district in some conversation. You know, there's nothing to be said or nothing to say that we couldn't at least engage them in a discussion about an abatement that gave 100% relief for a couple of years, you know, 4 or 5 years before they began to be made whole. Something that would allow the project to get some traction. It would seem to me that if the back end return was higher, you know, if you could show the numbers in a pro forma that showed that there was some back end return to them, that they might be willing to make an exception like that. I guess that's all by way of saying a couple of things. First of all, you know, we sort of put this on the back burner for a while, right? And I probably with good reason, but probably because we didn't have an immediate deal to address. But I think when we were talking about it a year ago, we all agreed that this is something that needed to be addressed in a thoughtful way at some point. You know, the fact that you're not in a hurry, the fact that you're kind of willing to allow the process to take its course is maybe encouraging from the standpoint that it might be appropriate for council to decide to begin proactively to look at our whole CRA policy, you know, and understand where the school district might be and understand what will benefit the city the most and engage in some discussion over the next 3, 4, or 5 months about how we best want to structure this. I have a feeling, Doug, that there are probably some implications as it relates to zoning and land use, and, you know, you've probably got some things built into the land use plan that addresses some aspects of this. I don't know. But, you know, we maybe owe it to the small business community to revisit the whole CRA situation, decide if we want to change it. Jim, I think we have one opportunity to change it all, right? And maybe this is the time to think about that with our partners from the school district and other folks, and, you know, come back to you in a half a year and say, you know, Dave, we've thought about it, and this is what we think the package is going to be now.
There's definitely a big picture that I think you have to look at. Big picture for the whole area. I mean, that's the gateway to the Lawrence Complex, which, I mean, obviously is a big factor in the city. And you know, is expanding, and I think that's a good thing.
I would like to think that as the SOMO project takes hold over the course of the next couple of years, Sylvania is going to be a hot destination for some development, and I think we have to be ready for that because not everybody's going to want to move to Sylvania, but if we give some incentives, not just the ones that are on the books, but some CRA incentives, that will help us along. So I hope that we can take a long view and Todd, even tonight, you know, begin the process of putting together some sort of a study of our CRAs, whether that's an ad hoc group or assigning it to a committee. But it seems like it's about time that we get serious about this.
Well, I agree with that. And I guess one thought that comes to mind is I've heard the comment made around this council table many times is that we can't just only look at downtown. We have to look at other parts of our community for redevelopment, and here we have a private investor, a small business owner who is looking to do that. So I think we need to seriously look at all the options. As you all know, I'm a big one for working through the committee's system. And I guess my initial thought, Mark, to your question, is that we look at plugging this into a committee. And I guess as I look at our committees.
What is the Finance Committee meeting? I think it's an appropriate place. I think it's in the right committee. And let me make another thing to think about here as we think about CRAs going forward. And Dave, you're not going to like this, but you know, when we think about long-term abatement, the type, I think we do need to think specifically about the kinds of projects that we're talking. Some projects, you know, the type of retail businesses need what we have to offer, and that is people. And what we don't, tax abatement for some of the things that we want to attract that you can locate anywhere, things like office space, light manufacturing, professional development has a little different has a little different situation. You know, people. One of the great things about Southbriar is that it's right down the street from me. Okay, as opposed to driving to Perrysburg to go to dinner or go have a drink after work, the Southbriar is right in my neighborhood. That's a that's one issue, which is a little different than, for example, I already did the deal with Kevin Kenny, and with that building, that deal's done. We know where that is. We cut that deal. But looking at another development of that sort. So all those things. And Dave, that's why I'm saying that without having, without knowing exactly what you have in mind, it's hard to evaluate what we want to do. You know, I think we're pretty accessible. We're a very accessible group. And, you know, call us on the phone. I mean, I think all our phone lists are very. You know, Jim is easy to get a hold of, and if you got something in mind, you know, I'd be happy to talk to you specifically about that. And that would go for any developer. I haven't talked to anybody about anything. But it's hard. Yeah, I think it's hard in the abstract to evaluate.
If I understand what you're saying there, again, I'm just a little piece of really that whole area. So I don't want to be presumptuous, but I'm not bringing this. I mean, as city council, I'm not sure that I would approve this if it was just me asking to create a whole CRA zone just so that I could remodel the front of my shopping center. That's not really what it's about.
Right.
It's really about, you got an area there that's a big eyesore, quite honestly. Mm-hmm. Southbriar could definitely use a spruce up. The warehouse is behind it. Something needs to be done with that whole neighborhood. Any improvement we could get in that would be helpful. So I think you got to think, you know, more in terms of 10, 15 years down the road, maybe the CRA would, you know, create development in that area that would make things look a lot nicer. Lord's College may, you know, as I said, it's their gateway. I mean, I think that whole area could be cleaned up and made to be a lot better looking than it is now. And, you know, maybe even, you know, you end up with some larger development than I'm even envisioning here between, you know, the two sites. But it's a longer term look, I think, that you have to do. As I said, I'm not here saying create this whole CRA for me, because I didn't even bring it up to begin with. I mean, I'm here as the only person that's here. But typically in the CRAs that I've seen, they're created, and then because they're there, people will, you know.
Right, that's the point.
Katie has a question.
So, Dave, I'm encouraged that you're here, because I've heard the word eyesore go along with that development more than a few times. And you're right, it's just as much of a gateway as what we're working on in Monroe Street. And so I don't want you to go away discouraged.
Oh, no.
And I'm wondering if you've considered landscaping between the sidewalk and the parking lot. I mean, that's a lot of what we've investigated on Monroe Street. It really takes the edge off the parking lot and just creating a bigger landscaping area so that when you drive by, you just don't see this long, ongoing, empty parking lot. And then even if you fix the sign, I mean, I think it used to have a time on it, and now the time is broken, and the sign looks, I know you can't fix the rusty mini mark sign, but the tall one, I think, is, I mean, there are small things, I don't know if that's small, but it's smaller than a whole facade, that would make a huge difference.
Well, just to clarify that, in answer, I mean, it's kind of two-part, in answer to your first question, yes, one of the thoughts that I've had is to create a little bit more green space between the curb and the parking lot with some landscaping that would look nice. And so that would probably be incorporated in any remodeling I did. The pylon sign, I don't know. That's actually owned by the office. People have no control over that. So it's a very strange setup there. As part of doing the facade and the parking lot and the landscaping like we're talking about, I probably would also want, I mean, right up front with you, a separate pylon sign for the shopping center, although a low one that sits, that conforms to the new sign code. You know, something that's really nice looking. Because the way it is right now, my tenants don't even have a pylon sign. They actually have to rent space from the guy next door.
Mr. Millman?
Jim?
Yeah, one of the other points that's covered a little bit in my memo that we haven't really addressed is that, you know, going forward, if you recall, we'd invited a fellow from the Department of Development that came in and gave a general talk. And based on that, I went out and surveyed CRA districts all over the area. And the sense I came around with was that council in their established parameters, minimum percentage abatement to maximum percentage abatement, minimum number of years to maximum number of years. But in most of those CRAs, each application is determined on a case-by-case basis. And that might allow for an opportunity. And what I'm hearing about engaging the schools early in a formula for how over time they may get some partial reimbursement, there's some opportunity here. But to me, I don't think we have to narrow it to a specific for one particular project. But there's some work to be done, and it'd be nice to be able to do it in a format that's a little more conducive to getting it going. This formal process is good, but it's time to roll up our sleeves and get to it.
And I recommend you go out and you look at similar suburban cities and communities to see what they're doing. When we did this back in the 90s, we looked at Maumee and adopted something close to what they have. But if you look at Maumee now, they do have that flexibility up to 15 years or up to 100%. But that puts more pressure on you to make a decision on a one-by-one basis. Right now, the way it is, either you get it all for 6 years or you get nothing. And I think we need to update that. Not that you want to do what somebody else is doing, but it's nice to know what the competition is doing as well.
Sure. And you know, Mayor, I think it's a policy question, right? Is Sylvania the kind of community that wants to encourage good business growth or not? You know, and I think that it's right that a retail strip is one thing, but it's going to be limited in its success, even if it puts on, you know, some new facade. Because it's going to be driven simply by the folks that live nearby, right? Stopping by to get a lottery ticket or going to the Southbury for dinner. I think if we look at the CRA approach with not just the idea that it's for retail business, but also for the large employers, we can put your customer base on steroids, right? Because if you have 50 new people working in an office building down the street or 50 new people working in a different kind of a business up the street, that's going to make the retail successful. So I would encourage us to look at this holistically. And from the standpoint that we really want to decide, I think, quite honestly, Mayor, Maumee's done a terrific job with its whole economic development package. You walk through that downtown at 10 o'clock any night, even a weeknight, and there's people walking around. And, you know, it's a vital kind of a place, a good model. So I would encourage us to assign it to a committee, you know, if not finance. You know, all of us seem to be on the Economic Development Committee, you know, so it could conceivably be there. But let's decide tonight to put it someplace where we can have some active work on it and do some benchmarking. I agree with the mayor. Maybe we need to have somebody come in and give us a little bit of consulting on that, you know, and talk about what the state of the art is with this tool. But I would think that we'd be missing a bet and would be doing a disservice to Dave here if we didn't come back in 6 months or so with some sort of a new idea of how this might work for our community.
The other thing, just to think, the other thing as far as the school system goes, and I realize that, you know, it's been their policy of trying to fight for, you know, everything they can get, and obviously the schools need money, but there's a big difference between, as an example, doing a CRA for a 30-unit residential subdivision where you're going to have all kinds of families moving into it, you know, paying no taxes for 15 years, and they've got all kinds of kids going to the school system, and doing a CRA a commercial area, even a commercial area if it's not though, you could go into a $5 million project if the school system would probably be losing a lot of tax revenue there. This is actually kind of a mixture of a lot of different things, but in my particular case, I mean, you're talking about, you know, maybe $150,000 of assessable tax value, and the school portion of that is relatively small. And down the road, I think they'll make it up on the back end. If the whole area improves and there's more development in the area, that's more tax dollars for schools down the road. You got to have a long-term approach.
I have two thoughts running through my head right now. I'm looking from the law director, action item number 4, I find very appealing. It says establish a negotiating team to meet with this particular applicant, Mr. Schmidt, consisting of a member of council, law director, and director of economic development. I think that's a great idea, in my opinion. And also, I like the idea of the Economic Development Subcommittee as far as taking this idea holistically. And I like the idea of possibly calling in a consultant if needed, because just to find out what other municipalities are doing in the state of Ohio. So those are a couple thoughts that go through my head. Mr. Lukey, you chair the Economic Development Subcommittee, and you also sit on the Finance Committee meeting. Would you be willing to serve on this team to continue discussions with Mr. Schmidt on this particular CRA, and then at the same time get the holistic thing going with the Economic Development Subcommittee?
The holistic thing?
Yeah.
Do you envision, Jim, the number 4 piece to be than a meeting or two?
Well, you know, what I had not put in my memo, which is an important component, is a dialogue with the schools.
Yeah, no, and I would encourage that to be part of the other process, don't you think?
Yes.
Okay. Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think that, you know, as a practical matter, we need to have not just finance, but also zoning and annexation involved with that. They all come to the table on the Economic Development Committee, so that, I think that's an appropriate place.
Well, I agree, because it's pretty much become a committee of the whole where we're all involved, so that seems
with
like...
With fewer roles, okay. You know.
Before we walk away tonight, Jim, how does the CRA, the township about that's now in the city?
You know,
is that Donald King?
Yes, you know, and I don't know how that map was exactly put together. They called it a CRA. It's not a CRA, it's a TIF.
Ah.
And so we, when we annex that property in, we annex it subject to the terms of the TIF agreement.
Okay.
So that's a misnomer, and I don't really understand why the map shows parts of the township in it as well. It's one of the things I was going to readdress. A little that corner spot.
That is that area along King Road.
Yes, that's the Kroger area that was all established.
Well, the hash area is on. Oh, is that the okay?
It's the Kroger.
The Kroger area.
It's also some of the township property to the south of it, where those apartments, the offices are. It was designed to be able to pay for the infrastructure.
I see an area that...
There are several areas.
Interesting.
There are several areas for CRAs that we can use. We can also use it as an economic incentive. which we've talked about in the past. So it's not somewhere in here. I think I mentioned not only the existing, but adding new or expanding the physical footprints of it, which we can do. It's a big, it's a big project.
And is the along the new CRAs, is it dramatically?
It's what it is. The two big issues are you have to have your agreement in place before you begin construction, okay, which is different from this, and the new ones compel an agreement with the schools for before you can begin. Whereas ours, they can consult with us, but it's the city's call.
We don't have the opportunity to go back and adopt pre-1994 CRAs today. So if we were going to identify a new CRA area, that would just be how we would have to do this.
That's correct. We did that for CRA number 9 along Howell, Sylvania.
Okay.
But we perhaps can expand the territories to the old CRAs.
Mr. Milner?
Yeah.
If you're looking for some action tonight, I'd like to move that we recommend the point that you made, that we engage in two separate sets of discussions, one with Mr. Schmidt regarding his plan, as I outlined in point number 4 for Mr. Moen, and then secondly, to refer the whole CRA issue to the Economic Development Committee.
There's a motion. Is there a second? There is a second. Any further discussion? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Dave, we'll be in touch with you. Thank you for being here, and thank you for wanting to invest.
Do you want to chat about this?
Okay. Is there anything else at this time that needs to come before the Finance Committee meeting? If not, we stand adjourned at 7:27 p.m.